from.
Blog Talk Radio.
Something related to having a penis in my ass.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
I still hear feedback. Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. Thank you for joining us to our Tuesday night Bible study from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time every Tuesday. Welcome. Tonight we're going to go ahead and start with our devotion with song, scripture, and prayer. We're going to start off tonight with the song Change from Tamae Hawkins in the Hawkins family. Mark, would you like to sing that?
Sure.
Okay, I think she can hear.
Can you hear us?
We yes. can hear you fine.
All right, it's all yours.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. His own word, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. His own word, God will do what he said he would do. He will stand by his word. It will come through. And God will do what he said he would do. He will stand by his word. It will come through. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. His own word, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. His own word, no weapon.
Amen. Amen. A wonderful change has come over me. A wonderful change has come over me. He changed my life complete. And now I sit at the Savior's feet to do what must be done. I'll work and work until my Savior comes. I want the full change has come over me. How wonderful change has come over me. Dr. Nix, could you read the scripture, please? The scripture is Romans, the 12th chapter, the first and the second verse, please, if you have it. You're on mute.
I appeal to you, brothers, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Amen. Would someone, Brother Carver, would you say the prayer, please?
Yes. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the fellowship that we have in your word. Father, I thank you for the peace that you've given us, that perfect peace that passes all understanding, God. Father, allow us to understand and comprehend your word clearly tonight so that we can go to a higher level with you. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Well, this is Dr. Susie. We are so excited to be here today. Our topic of discussion is about change, about renewing your mind. We are so grateful to everyone who has joined us tonight. And our instructor tonight will be Mr. Lester Carver. But before we begin, we'd like to get a roll call to find out who's with us tonight. So who's on the line?
Mark Bryan.
Lester Carver.
Mark Bryan.
Sean.
This is James. James Nooks.
Sean and James. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So I've got everybody. So, Lester, get us started.
Well, tonight we're going to be discussing renewing your mind, the renewed mind, the key to power. And we're going to be really coming from this verse, this passage that we just read in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I'm going to read it again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And before we get started, I'd like to ask everyone on the line, what do you think it means for you to renew your mind? And do you think it is necessary for us to be brainwashed?
Wow. Is it necessary for us to be brainwashed? Okay.
This is Sean. I don't think it's necessary. I think it is the goal of our society to brainwash us, to get us to conform or to control the majority of the people to so they can rule us away from what we really can be or should be. So I think the brainwashing is something that our society has implemented and infiltrated from the time we're born all the way up until we are mature enough to recognize and develop and mature enough to recognize that that is what has happened to us, and that's why our minds need to be renewed. And so, yes, to answer the second question, I think our minds do need to be renewed, and which is being renewed to the truth of who we really are, and that is by the word of God, ideally, is really the truth of really what the truth is the word of God. So our minds need to be renewed and restored from the brainwashing that has taken place in most of our lives.
This is Dr. Susie. Brother Lester, could you define what you mean by brainwashing?
Yes, yes. As
I mean,
matter
I think
of fact,
I understand, but I would really
Sean,
rather hear what you're...
I think Sean very clearly stated it when she said that we are constantly being indoctrinated in the ways of the world via TV, the internet, magazines, billboards, etc. And everything is feeding the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Whereas if we can wash that away with the word of God, then we can be set free of the brainwashing that has been taking place in our culture on a daily basis.
So you're saying that the systematic influence, and you believe that it's forcible or just influence and persuaded act of indoctrination? You're saying that, is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that companies spend billions of dollars a year trying to influence how you think,
feel, dress, what you eat, where you go to entertain yourself, where you go for recreation, what you do for education, what you do in terms of communication, and they are invested in this, right? So just imagine that God has something more in store for you than what you have been led to focus on for the majority of your life, and all of a sudden you need to now readjust. You need to now renew your mind from that worldly disposition that says take care of your physical needs first and your spiritual needs second, whereas God says seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. That takes a real adjustment of your mind, and you have to allow the authority of the Word of God to prevail in order to make that adjustment.
Okay, so this is Dr. Susie. So I'm hearing you say that you believe that our society's method of enculturation is mind control. And you believe that as Christians and as believers, we have to also do the same sort of brainwashing to reverse the effects? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes, ma'am.
Anybody else on the line? How do you guys feel about the terminology, that usage of language?
I agree with the majority of it.
Who's talking? James, you're on the, you're putting yourself on mute.
Can everyone hear me?
We couldn't
hear
you before.
Can
you hear me? We hear you now.
Oh, I started to say something, and then somebody else said something, so I just let them speak.
Okay.
I find about the renewing of our minds, I think in the first verse, it introduces the concept of what needs to be done in order to have our minds renewed and transformed. And that is that we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. That means that we need to not be focused on ourselves so much, but instead to lift up God first in our lives. And then for our minds to be transformed. And this is not talking about how much information we have, but it's a spiritual connection with God where we are transformed. We are new creatures, as in 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that we are a new creation in God. We're not the same people. The world does try to brainwash us, but we need to be careful not to be religious and be trans and be brainwashed by religion. As if we read Isaiah, and God says that he's tired of our sacrifices and our new moon worships. So God was tired of the worship of the Israelites because they weren't really worshiping God. So we need to be careful as to what are we sacrificing to? And I think that God wants us to reason and understand and not just accept the doctrine when our minds, we need to understand and we need to be in prayer to God to understand it. It talks about having a discernment. And we have so many different discernments running around here, and we get really confused. So it's important to show ourselves approved and get an understanding of God, what God is saying to us through his scripture and through his spirit, and then to be transformed and not conformed to what the world is saying, but conformed to what God is saying to us, and then become the people that God wants us to be. We should not be so conformed to religiosity till we become keepers of the law and we seek to be lovers as God is a lover. So it's just, I believe that we do need to have our minds renewed and that we do not need to be brainwashed and that we need to be seeking God's, what God has for us through God's word and through God's spirit. and discerning what is right.
Praise the Lord, Dr. Noakes. This is Lester Carver here. One of the things I wanted to mention is when you discuss renewing your mind, really what you're talking about is replacing what you think with what the Word of God says. And a lot of times that's very difficult. One of the things that I'd like to share with you as an example is what they call psychosomatic illnesses, where people dwell in such a state of fear of getting sick that they manifest physical symptoms of being ill with no root cause. So they'll go to the doctor, and the doctor will say there's absolutely nothing wrong with you, even though you're manifesting these symptoms, and they will issue them false drugs. They'll issue them placebos to deal with something going on in their mind. Now, it is just as possible to do the opposite of that, where you stand on the promise of the Word that says, God has healed me. Through the stripes of Jesus Christ, I've been physically made whole, and I reject all illness in the name of Jesus Christ. And just as you can make yourself ill with your mind through doubt, worry, and fear, you can make yourself well with your mind through faith, confidence, and trust in standing on the promises of the Word of God. Dr. Noakes, I'd like for you to read a passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 16, if you would. 10 through 17.
Okay, just a minute.
Do you have another scripture you'd like us to be getting while he's doing that one?
Yes. The other one is in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 16 through, and Dr. Beavers, if you could read that.
No, I would like, I'd like Sean to get that one.
Well, Sean,
can
yes,
you get that, please?
16 through 21.
16 through 21. 2 Peter
yes,
1,
yes.
16 through 21. Sean, can you get that?
Yes.
I think, Brett, have you joined us? We had somebody else who joined us. Okay.
Are we ready for 2 Timothy 3, 10
yes,
through 16?
Yes, sir.
Now, you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings. The things that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Indeed, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But wicked people and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness.
And how does that scripture speak to you regarding this topic of renewing your mind?
This speaks to the fact that Paul's example, he's holding up his example to people as far as what he has been through. And then he's encouraging them to continue in what they've learned and believed, and understanding from whom has taught them, in other words, Paul, whom you've learned it from, and how from childhood you have been the sacred, known the sacred writings. And he's speaking to Timothy, his son in the ministry, and he's wanting him to instruct.
Right.
Yeah. And scripture is given by God, inspired by God.
And I would like for each of you to just let this piece of the scripture rest with you, where it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So, you know, these are not the writings of man, but the God-inspired, God-breathed word of God. And the word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, right? So now, who has 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 through 21?
You said 2 Peter.
Did you say 2 Peter? Because I have 2 Peter. Do you want
1 Peter? 2 Peter. I'm sorry. 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21.
Okay, and it reads as, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophet made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit."
Now, Sean, what does this say about the scriptures to you and the source and authority of the scriptures?
It says to me that God the Father in heaven gave the word to man to write, to communicate that out. So it wasn't original thought of man. It came from God the Father in heaven to man to then put out into the world for other men to hear.
Amen. Now, this is the question to everyone else. Now, if the prophecy of the scripture itself is of no private interpretation, I believe what Dr. Nooks was saying earlier about our need to study the word of God to show ourselves approved as workmen of the word, rightly dividing the word of God, is our goal, because we have proven through the existence of a multitude of Christian denominations that the word of God can be divided many different ways according to men's private interpretation. But why we want to study the word is so that we can get to the root of what does the Bible say? What does God intend to communicate to us about his heart, about his will, about his purposes? And to that degree, when we take this thing seriously and we realize this isn't a joke, this is real, this isn't a Greek myth, this isn't some cleverly put together story, this is the word of God, then it should drive us to spend time studying so that we can get to what God said about his word and not to what others have said about God's word. Any thoughts?
Amen. And I agree with that. And I think we need to – what has happened is that the scriptures – and it's good to study, be able to try to study God's word in the original autographs or in the original languages. We've lost a lot in, we lose some in translations. And then you have many, many, many translations, and many people, translators, take the word of God, and they translate it in different ways. They'll take a word, and they'll split it and divide it, and And that's why you get so many different, that's not the only reason why, but one reason why you get different understandings of what the word says sometimes, because of how people translate it. I think it's important for us to study it. And I know that many of you have studied Bibles where you can look at what the original Greek word says and then try to understand what God is really trying to communicate to us. And I think what you said, Lester, is right. We need to try to understand what it is that God is saying to us and not take, like, for example, where the slave masters used to say, slaves, obey your masters, and they kept a lot of people in bondage because they wanted them to interpret that literally for them at that time, and that was not for them at that time. But slaves, obey your masters kept, as said to a whole, to many generations of black people, of slaves, that they were supposed to stay in slavery. So that's what I mean about trying to really understand God's word and Lester, you're right, not letting somebody else tell you what it is, but to try to understand what it is that God is saying. So I agree with you.
Anybody
we
else?
Need to try to understand what God is saying to
anybody?
Us.
Anybody? Yes. I think that was very well put.
I agree 100%. And I believe that you do need to read the word for yourself, if nothing else, for confirmation, even if someone else, you know, is ministering to you or preaching the word to you. You know, it's nothing wrong with getting confirmation. So you need to follow along. You don't just follow blindly with something that someone's telling you or reading to you. You need to go and study and read for yourself. And then I think, if I could add on to what Dr. Nook said, I think sometimes it's hard to understand the word of God. Sometimes you're not clear. And so I think that's where your relationship with God, I think you need to include prayer on a regular basis when you're reading the word of God and ask him to interpret to you, give you understanding in your mind of what
Amen.
He meant by that
Amen.
For your understanding. So then you're not relying on someone else to interpret to you what he is saying. So that's the only thing I would add. Other than that, I agree 100%. God is the truth of all of it. So.
Amen. I love it. This is Dr. Susie. I really love what Sean said. And the reason why it means so much to me is because as a person who has been to seminary, who has studied Hebrew and Greek, I know that a Hebrew, the words from the Hebrew scriptures, you can have one word that'll have five different meanings. It'll have five different words that are different. And the person who does the translating chooses which of those words to put in that translation. Now, what I'm saying is that when you read you always have to look at the propaganda. You have to look at who's writing it. For example, the NIV is written by people who are evangelicals. You can see it in the beginning of the Bible. So that interpretation will be from the evangelical slant. So you have to go back and understand the people and their perspective from which they do their interpretation, whether it's NIV, a King James Bible, or whatever Bible. Different people interpret the scripture. And it's not the original language. The original language does not have commas, periods, paragraphs in it. It is from a scroll that it's written in it and then it's interpreted that does not have those things in it. We get that information from people who have interpreted the word. And it is not read like a book. You have to even know how to do that. That's why it's so important, as Sean said, to pray. Because as you build your relationship, I love exactly what she said, as you build your relationship, as you grow spiritually, then you're able to have better discernment of what it is that you're reading and the lens that you should use when you're reading the word. That's why you need to go someplace to a church and work with people who have had training to help you be able to read and know how to read the Bible, because it's not a book, just like any other book that you read.
Now, this is Lester Carver here. One of the things I'd like to encourage everyone to do, because I used to, when I was growing up, I was taught
that we only study from the King James Bible because we can go back to our concordance and our lexicons, and we can get back to the Hebrew in the Old Testament and the Greek in the New Testament and find out what it really said. And then the one thing we like about the King James is that the words that it adds, it puts in italics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, as I started to study on my own, as I matured and developed, I really, really started hearing the Word of God speak clearly to me when I purchased an Amplified Bible, where they do a lot of the research and they have a lot of the information right there in the Bible. One of the things I would encourage is for people who spend serious time studying the Bible to purchase a MacArthur Study Bible with detailed study notes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. For people who just want to read the Bible like a book, I would highly recommend the Message Bible because it reads like a book. It is the kind of thing that you don't have to be a Bible scholar or student to read the Bible from front to back and to read it like a book and to get a feel for the context of what's going on, because you got to remember there are thousands of years of history and even things that have not happened yet that are contained in the scriptures in these 66 books. And so I really want to encourage everyone to not be afraid to buy different versions of the Bible. I have a Hebrew study Bible, a bunch of Bibles that really, when you have a question, when you want to see is a specific passage of scripture saying the same thing in 10 different Bibles, and as a matter of fact, you can do that on your computer right now. They've got the Bible on computer where you can just click on the different versions and you can compare. And it's interesting because when you do compare, you begin to see those things that are key, that are core to what's there, and those things that can be added and twisted and adjusted to say what certain people want them to say.
This is Dr. Susie. And one of the things that I struggle with when referring people to books is MacArthur is a very one-sided, he's more left, or, you know, I don't encourage people to go left, just left when they buy books. If you're going to get an interpreter, a book that's been interpreted by somebody, that means that you're going to be following their theology. You need to have a balance. If you're going to read somebody conservative, you need to read somebody liberal. You need to have a balance of what you read if you're going to rely on other people to give you what the Word says. And then you need to put lots of prayer, as Sean was saying, into it to hear what God is saying to you. So I've been to seminary, and in seminary I discovered that the Hebrew scriptures are very flowery, but the Hebrew scriptures written in the King James Version is very good. I like it. I don't like the Greek, however. So there are all kinds of Bibles that are middle of the road for studying. I would recommend the NIV. But, like, I think you need to get a plethora of Bibles. There's the NIV, NASB, NIV. You need to read all forms to just get to immerse yourself, to hear how people think, to even get the understanding that different people's interpretations are going to be really different. And until you start you really don't get a clear understanding of how different they are until you start to read these. The parallel Bible is awesome because, as you said earlier, it will lay them side by side and you can compare them. And that really helps you to see how different people interpret them.
So as with so many Bibles and so many interpretations, how can one believe the Bible, how can one believe that which is interpreted? Since it was interpreted from scrolls that have so many different interpretations, and whoever wrote that Bible took an interpretation based on their experience.
Well, when you have a differing interpretation, it's not going to say go left and the other one say go right. It's just going to be a difference of a word that says something like, instead of saying, like it says, pleasing. It may say pleasant. It may say another way of expressing that type of word. And it will depend on, you always look to see who wrote it. So if you want to have a conservative perspective, you'll get a book that's by MacArthur. If you want to have a liberal perspective, you'll find something that's more liberal. So you have to try, if you want a balance, that's what you buy.
But it sounds like a menu that I could go to McDonald's and choose, do I want a Big Mac or do I want some fries or do I want, to go to Burger King and
well,
be able to, still receive the same type of burger, So if I'm new, to this thing called Christ or religion or Christianity, how am I to believe that there's only one word?
Well, I'm reading it to you. I'm giving you an example now. I'm reading 1 Thessalonians 4:3. And I'm just going to read the third verse. This is a parallel Bible. It says, "For this is the will of God." This is from the English Standard Version. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality." The New Living Translation says, "God's will is for you to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin." The ASV, Amplified Standard Version, says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication." The New King James Version says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality." It does not make that much difference of a change, so it's not confusing. But what happens is as you study, as Lester Carver has shared, as you study, and not just read, but study, meaning that you're looking at the text, you're trying to see what the meanings are, you're trying to say, well, why is this one different? What does this one say differently? Why is that there? That's studying. That's what you need to do. You're not just there to read. You need to study. And as you study, then it will give you that type of information that you're looking for. For example, 4 says that each of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who don't know God. 4 says that each of you will control his own body versus each one of you will know how. It says that each of you will control. It's similar. It's not that different. It just teaches you that when they interpret the scripture, each person doesn't, you don't have to add this, you don't have to add that, or this person interpreted this or that, and it's not that different. But it's a matter of how that person parsed the language.
This is Lester Carver here. One of the things I just wanted to mention is that it is going to, for some people, certain Bibles are going to read easier and clear. And I think that's where you want to start is so that you can get a clear understanding of what the Bible is saying. And I never realized how many people struggled with the these and the thous and the art and the yees in the King James. And because I grew up with it since I was 9, I'm scratching my head thinking these people are just lazy. But then after I started reading other versions, after I started reading Amplified Bible and other translations, I realized that, wow, it is very possible for someone who has no background in the scripture to get lost in this thing, and maybe we need to simplify. So the first time I picked up the Message Bible and started reading, I was thrilled because I said, wow, if I was a novice, if I was a person who just came to Christ, and I was reading this Bible, I could read it from front to back and comprehend what it's saying without having to have somebody there holding my hand, right? And that's, and having a start point is always a good thing. I've encouraged people when they're new to just spend some time in Psalm, spend some time in Proverbs, spend some time in Acts and Romans, getting familiar with what we're doing now, and then go read everything in red in the Gospels. Everything Jesus Christ said,
well,
read that,
Well, the Messenger is actually Eugene Peterson's interpretation as well. So, this is what we need to, Brother Carver and Mark and everybody on the line, what is real clear is that what's most important is that you pray and ask God to give you the interpretation when you read. And when you read it, understand who's written the Bible and that their perspective, I mean, everybody's trying to help everybody understand it. Nobody's trying to take you and brainwash your mind to think some negative thing. That's what it sounded like you were saying, Mark, that you've got all these different versions. They're not that different. And it's
well, you
not
know what, actually,
as though.
I hate to interrupt you. One of the things that you do need to consider, I highly recommend that you get a Bible dictionary of some sort, but I will tell you that depending on which one you get, there are going to be those in there who flip-flop on things like race and slavery and certain issues where, for instance, they want to say that the descendants of Ham are cursed and they're all black and this, that, and the other, but then they want to deny that these are the people of Cush who built Canaan, who built Mesopotamia, who
what
were
version
the people
is that?
Of Nimrod, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's just
the
Bible
what
dictionary,
version is
right?
That?
It's just a Bible
but
dictionary.
But a Bible
that
dictionary
I
is somebody's commentary. That's somebody's commentary.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And one of the reasons I would highly recommend that you get a Bible dictionary or another book that speaks about Eastern Orientalisms and culture is so that you can understand some of the things you're reading about, especially in the Old Testament. Now, one of the things that you mentioned was considering who wrote a given translation. Well, one of the things you want to consider whenever you're studying
Bible, whether it's
Bible,
a Bible dictionary or whether it's a translator,
right,
or whether it's the Bible itself, you need to make sure who's writing it because you're going to get somebody's perspective. And it's not really
right,
about a
true
perspective that we're trying to read and understand today. We're just trying to understand the Word of God. I don't want to get caught up so much on people, but let's get
all
back
right
to the Word
that's
of God.
That's absolutely true. One of the other things you want to consider is when you read the beginning of a book, it'll say specifically who that book is written to, and it's probably equally as important as who wrote the book, who the particular passage of Scripture is being written to. So that if it's written to the children of Israel, it's to the children of Israel. If it's written to the church of God, it's written to the church of God.
Amen. And you also need to consider the context.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, and who it's written to is a part of the context. But was the church in a state of uproar, like in the Corinthian church or in Ephesus, you know, and what was really going on in that context? And
right,
is that context, are we to carry on what was taught in that context to this context? And that's why we get into an issue and a discussion about women in ministry. What context are we talking about? So there's so many things to consider in studying God's Word, but we don't want to lose sight of the fact that that the Bible is the good news of Jesus Christ dying for us and rising, and God is and Jesus is our Savior, Lord and Savior. We don't want to ever miss that and how much God loves us and how much God has done for us.
Amen.
Amen.
And this is Sean, if I could just add to that, that's where the importance of prayer, the role of prayer plays into this as being a crucial role, is because through prayer comes clarity.
Amen,
that's
Sean.
My opinion. The prayer, that's why it's so crucial, because within all of what's been said, you know, prayer will provide the clarity around all of it for you.
It does say the Holy Spirit is our teacher, correct? So if the desire to study God's Word comes from God, then the presence of the Holy Spirit activated through prayer is going to guide you to a knowledge, an accurate knowledge of what the Bible is saying. But our premise, our start point of allowing the Bible to speak for itself is what is going to drive us and free us to really hear what the Bible is saying without all of the static from outside and around. And one of the reasons I say this is because when Adam and Eve were tempted in the garden, the devil had to talk them out of something they already had and deceive them and convince them that God was holding out on them, and it caused them to fall. And it can be the same way with us if we're not careful, if we don't know that God has already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness in his word. But if we make ourselves available to study the word, then we can receive those answers through the Holy Spirit, through prayer, to everything that pertains to life and godliness, and God can guide us in our... I want to thank everybody for your participation, and thank Dr. Beavers for allowing me to teach this lesson.
All right.
Amen. Can we get any prayer requests or prayer concerns?
This is Mark. I request prayer for my daughter and her mother and our businesses and everyone who has jobs on the line.
Amen.
Okay.
And this is John. I have a prayer request that we would just continue to lift my mother, my entire family up, and just keeping us healthy and well. But I guess that pertains to everyone. Actually, I guess everyone on the line, all of our families, and just that God would, keep us all healthy and well in mind, body, soul, and spirit, and to bless our finances and keep us safe from any hurt, harm, or danger. And if I could also add a special prayer request for the city of Chicago. The crime here is just really escalating as the temperatures are rising, and it's a lot of unnecessary violence that's taking place. And I just pray for our youth and ask that we would, keep them in our prayers, that God would protect them, and that, his word would go forth and people would be saved instead of dying every day for just crazy stuff. So anyway, that's my prayer request.
Brett, did you have anything you wanted to say, or Reverend Diggs, anybody want a prayer request or praise report?
Yeah, just pray for me. Still continuing to look for a job. Haven't had any hits yet, so. Other than that, I pray for everybody every day, asking God to bless us all and all of our needs. So that's all I need is just prayer.
Amen.
Well, this is James, and I just thank God for continuing to reveal myself to me and to help me to be able to grow stronger and understand God better in my life and how I should interact with other people. And I pray a special prayer for our country and along the issue of race in our country and racism.
Amen.
Dr. Nix, this is Dr. Susie. Would you end up closing us with prayer? I'd like to lift up the Bible study, and for those new seekers that are on the line tonight, we've talked about this, about how it is that we want to approach our audience, and if there are any questions, we want you to feel free to give us a call, and we'd be more than happy to talk to you about any questions you might have. It's really difficult to first start off learning about the Bible, because you do hear different things from different people. And the biggest thing that you can do that will bless yourself is to have a great prayer life with God. Have prayer life in the morning, when you wake up, reading your text and asking God to reveal how you should go through what you need to get through your day. And do that every day, and as you use those texts to get you through, you grow. And as you grow, I know one of the things that Sean has said is it's so important to me, and that's prayer. Because you can be praying about a scripture, say, I know I've done it maybe 7 years ago. I prayed and read a particular scripture, and then three or four years down the line, I'm rereading that same text, revisiting that same thing to do a sermon, and I see something totally different. not that it's wrong, but God is giving a different dimension to what my understanding is. And so as we grow, don't be frustrated or get disappointed when you start to grow and you get differing, a little difference of understanding, and you go, I never had that before. That's okay. You know, we keep growing every day. And even those of us who are on the line here, we learn something every day. And that's the reason why we have one another's perspective. That's why we listen to each other, so that we can glean things from one another. So we thank you for participating with us. Dr. Nix, would you close us in prayer?
God, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for your presence.
Yes.
We thank you for your Holy Spirit that teaches us. We thank you for your word that you've given us. Help us, God, to pray and seek your the understanding that we need concerning you in our lives and how we should act and how we should serve. God, we lift up Mark and ask you to bless him in a special way, and he asks for prayer for his daughter and for her mother and for business and jobs. And we pray for his new job, that he would continue to grow. We pray for Sean. God, we lift her up, and she asks for prayer for her mother, for her family, and everyone on the line. And she asks for health, for well-being, and blessed finances. And she also asks for a special prayer. And God, we lift up and join with her in prayer concerning the crime in the city of Chicago. So many people being shot and killed, so much violence, God. And we know you're able to intercede. And so we're asking for that intercession right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we also ask you to bless Brett in a special way. And he asks for prayer. And we pray for him. And God, we pray that the door would be open for a new job. And we know that you're able to open doors, and they cannot be closed, and they close doors, and they cannot be opened. And we seek, God, new direction and a new job for Brett. And we pray for his family in the name of Jesus, and he continues to pray for us. And we thank you for his prayers. We ask you to bless Dr. Susie in a special way as you do. And, God, we know that she's concerned about the Bible study. She's concerned about people and that they would get an understanding of you. And so we ask a blessing upon the Bible study, and especially for new seekers, God, that they would seek you, and God, that they would be in prayer as they study your word. And God, we ask that you would bless those that are in our country, God, that are divided along the line of race, and God, that would be everybody in our country. So we pray for a better understanding, God. We pray for tolerance. We pray for love. And we pray for God for understanding, for people to look at themselves and understand what it is that's influencing their lives. And I just thank you, God, for growth and for understanding that you've given me, and you give me every day, God. And I just rejoice in your presence in my life, and I rejoice in your presence in the lives of all those that are on the line, for your people all over the world. God, we lift you up, we praise you, we magnify you, God. You are worthy of all the praise. We need you, God, each and every day, every minute of the day. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name we pray.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Love you guys.
Till next week.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.